You are listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, do you struggle with procrastination? An expert shows us how to stop putting things and our lives on hold.
First, news broke last week that Minnesota Vikings star Adrian Peterson was indicted by a Texas grand jury on charges of child abuse. The running back has admitted to hitting his four-year-old son with a branch. And now a second investigation is looking into the possible abuse of another one of his children.
It's a story that's touched a nerve with many around the nation. While some find Peterson's actions reprehensible, others argue that parents should have the right to freely and physically discipline their children. The fact remains that corporal punishment remains relatively common in the country. In every state, a parent can legally hit their child as long as the force is reasonable. But from a child development standpoint, should they?
Joining us now to talk about the issue is George Holden. He's a professor of psychology at Southern Methodist University who studies parenting, discipline, and family violence. George, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
Well, I want to start with the specifics of the Adrian Peterson case. What do we know so far about what happened?
Well, what we know is that Adrian Peterson, admitted that he was physically disciplining his child with a stick, or switch as he called it, and he admits that it got... He admits that he left marks on the child and injured the child in the child's scrotum. He was a four-year-old child, and these are what he has revealed to both his wife and also, I guess, his lawyer.
And there are charges, it sounds like, pending or investigation, at least, of him abusing a second child.
That I'm not aware of those reports yet.
As we mentioned earlier, it's legal for a parent to hit their child as long as the force is deemed reasonable. And, you know, I imagine that varies from state to state. But what would you say constitutes reasonable? It's a difficult word to unpack.
It's extremely difficult. And there's plenty of evidence and stories that parents and others who have actually clearly physically abused a child use the reasonable term as an excuse to get off and to avoid being put in jail. So it's a very troubling legal term that I'm not an advocate of. I don't think, in fact, in my view, there is no reasonable reason for a parent ever to hit a child.
And things have changed over the years in attitudes about corporal punishment, but there's been, it seems, a very gradual decline in the number of parents who practice it. Can you give us a sense how common corporal punishment is right now in the United States?
It's still extremely common. Anywhere, depending on the sample, depending on what part of the country, anywhere from 70 to 90% of the sample will say that either will say that they have hit their child, spanked their child, slapped their child, or will say that they approve of occasionally using corporal punishment as a disciplinary technique. So it's extremely entrenched in our society, and even though there's slight declines over the last 20, 30 years, those are small declines. It's maybe sort of five or maybe 10% in some samples of a decline over time.
And there are quite a few states that allow schools to use physical punishment as well. What are the statistics there?
Correct. There are 19 states currently allow corporal punishment to be used in public schools. Now, many of those states, there are few cases, but it's really the southern states where corporal punishment in schools is alive and well. And it totals up to about 200,000 cases per year of American children being paddled by school administrators or teachers.
So it's interesting. So we've just heard about 19 states where there is still paddling, corporal punishment allowed in schools, 70 to 90% of parents say that they have engaged in corporal punishment in the course of a year. How does that stack up for the rest of the world in terms of rates of corporal punishment?
Well, corporal punishment is, on the one hand, still quite common in many countries. And in fact, in some countries, the evidence is that children are hit and beat even more frequently than the U.S. However, at the same time, there are now 39 countries that have banned legally all forms of corporal punishment of children. Now, that doesn't mean these 39 countries that it's totally eradicated in those countries, but the fact is that the governments have passed legislation as a method, really, of trying to get social change to occur in their country. In some countries, it's been highly successful, like Sweden, where they passed it in 1979. Other countries, it's going to take a lot more time, such as, well, Brazil just passed it this past summer. And so it will take, you know, many years before that law actually has teeth in terms of parents stopping to use the technique that they've been using.
Why do you suppose that when we look at other countries, if you look, for example, at Sweden, they've had a big dive in attitudes about corporal punishment. There's less tolerance for it. It's not allowed legally. Why has it been so slow in America for attitudes to change? What is it about what's happening here that makes it more common?
Well, I think for one reason, the parents' rights seem to be forefront in Americans' minds, as opposed to children's rights. So we rarely talk or consider that children have rights, though the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which has been passed by every country except the U.S., Somalia, and South Sudan, indicate that children have a right not to be hit. But Americans do not seem to put much stock into the idea that children should have rights, at least compared to parental rights. Whereas in many other countries, they not only have passed the convention, but also try to actively think about what's best for children and recognize that there are competing rights, that parents do in fact have rights, but also children have rights. And certainly a basic right of everyone, every individual, is one of not being hit.
Is there a common answer that we hear when parents are asked why they engage in corporal punishment?
Well, certainly the most common one is, like Adrian Peterson reported, it was done to him. So he has just assumed that that is the right way to rear a child, because he would say, oh, I turned out fine, so I will do that to my children. But there's lots of different what I call determinants of parenting. So there's, besides that intergenerational one, other determinants are general culture, so what people around you are doing, your view of what's normal, the religious right, those who interpret the Bible, particularly Old Testament and Proverbs, literally, will argue that the Bible implores them to use corporal punishment on their children. And there's other determinants such as stress. Parents who are more stressed are more likely to spank because it's an emotional reaction when there's conflict. So there's lots of sort of determinants like that.
Now, obviously, this is a story. It's touched a lot of nerves with a lot of parents on both sides of this issue. What does the research suggest about whether corporal punishment works?
Well, the research is amazingly consistent. And it not only, it shows corporal punishment is essentially ineffective for what parents want it to do, which is change behavior in the long term. Corporal punishment does, of course, change the immediate behavior, because a child who is spanked or slapped isn't going to continue for the next 10 seconds exactly what he or she is doing. But it's corporal punishment is ineffective in changing behavior from a longer-term perspective. For example, this past year I published a study where we looked at mothers who gave consent to audio record their interactions with their children in the home. And in the course of listening to hundreds of hours of recordings, we came across 41 incidents of corporal punishment. And in 73% of those cases, within 10 minutes, the children were misbehaving again, often doing the same thing that they had been doing that led to the corporal punishment. And so it's clear that in the short term, corporal punishment is not working. Parents repeatedly will spank the child for the same misbehavior. And in the longer term, if you look at does corporal punishment lead to better, as we call, moral internalization, better behavior, better values kind of thing, there's no evidence that it does, and in fact is more likely to lead to the opposite, that children who are spanked are more likely to misbehave, to be aggressive, to have mental health problems like depression or anxiety.
We're talking right now with psychologist George Holden about corporal punishment in the United States, pegged to the recent news that Minnesota Vikings star Adrian Peterson is facing child abuse charges for allegedly beating his sons.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Parents, your thoughts on the use of corporal punishment. Do you spank your children? If so, why? If not, what do you do to discipline children instead? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking with psychologist George Holden about the debate over corporal punishment in the United States. It's been reignited after the high-profile indictment of the NFL football player Adrian Peterson, who's currently facing child abuse charges.
You could join the conversation at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about spanking or other forms of physical discipline when it comes to misbehaving kids? Have you practiced corporal punishment in your own home? If so, why? If not, what do you do instead? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you could post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're going to go to our phones now and take a first call from Steve in Danbury. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Veronica. Thanks for taking my call. Interesting juxtaposition. A couple weeks ago, we had a football player who beat his girlfriend, and there was universal outrage and condemnation, as there should have been. Now we have a football player who beat his son, and we're trying to decide if maybe that was okay.
All right, interesting point, Steve, and obviously a lot of a couple of rough weeks for the NFL, difficult things that we're talking about based on what's coming out of some of these players. But, George, do you agree with Steve? You know, Steve is suggesting here that this should be a done deal, that there should be widespread public condemnation instead of, you know, sort of weighing the benefits of corporal punishment. What do you think about that?
Basically, I totally agree with Steve that the behavior was totally unacceptable and ill-advised. On the other hand, I do want to express sympathy to the role that parents have to play and the fact that, in general, we in our society are not well equipped to deal with that. So what happened was Adrian Peterson had to do what was done to him because he hadn't been educated better about what are better techniques for child rearing. So on the one hand, I agree it's totally inappropriate and abhorrent behavior what he did, but also I want to express some compassion to Adrian, and recognize that parenting is a very difficult task.
Well, and anyone who's parented a child, has spent time around kids, know that they can try your last nerve. So what are some of those better techniques that you think parents should be trying instead?
Well, the basic rule is you never have to hit a child under any circumstance. Parents think they have to do that to get across the message, and that's absolutely not true. To get across the message, it's going to be much more effective if they do it in a gentle, loving manner rather than in the heat of the moment by inflicting pain. With that in mind, you don't want to get, even though children know how to push parents' buttons, you don't want to get sucked into that and get angry. So that's often easier said than done. And we have three children, grown now, but our second child was a very challenging child. And I had to sort of put myself in a timeout in order not to spank him, because I would get so infuriated by his behavior.
You put yourself on a timeout.
I had to put myself as well as him. But so we both cooled down and then dealt with the situation by communicating about it. So basically, a parent needs to sort of structure the situation so that you're going to minimize the likelihood of conflict, but and so be what I call being a proactive parent, anticipating what the child might do and structure the situation to avoid problems.
All right. Well, thank you to Steve for his call. And I want to jump in so we can get to our next caller. Megan joins us next from Michigan. Hi, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So I was spanked as a child, and I'm finding myself spanking my own daughter, and it's just appalling to me. And I've tried to change my behavior, and it's not worked. And what I'm wondering is, can you suggest resources for parents where we can go to actually change that behavior? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for calling, Megan. And what do you think are the resources, George? Where can parents go if they want to try something else?
Well, there's lots of different resources, and I applaud Megan for recognizing that it's not a good practice and wanting to change. But, of course, as she points out, it's not easy, because that's what sort of comes naturally to us if that's the way we were raised. So in almost any community, there are various parenting resources that you can go to. There's also lots of books and lots of free information on the internet about what is now called positive parenting or positive discipline. And a lot of this information takes time. It's not going to work overnight, but begin, and depending on the particular circumstances and how challenging the child is, it can be more or less difficult to enact. But try different resources, and by all means, get help, because it can only get worse, and you don't want to do things that will inadvertently damage, even temporarily, your child or your relationship with your child. So I encourage you to pursue positive parenting or positive discipline techniques.
All right. Well, thanks again, Megan. And we're going to go next to Tina joining us in La Crosse. Hi, Tina.
Hi. I don't know, because my grandmother, I got a whipping once, like Mr. Peterson's son. Didn't break skin, but then again, I sat on my cousin and made her eat a daddy long legs, and my grandmother was not terribly thrilled with this. And I don't know, maybe just our family is a bunch of wee feral animals, but we were bad kids. I mean, we did bad, destructive things. And we definitely caught it if we got caught. We got spanked. We got sent to our rooms. We sort of took it in good spirits. You did it. You got caught. You sort of earned it. And we managed to, like, not to grow up into normal human beings. And I have seen some of the children loose in the mall with their parents struggling but trying to modify their behavior, and Well, they're rude, heinous little animals. I mean, I wouldn't have turned around and told my parents to F off in public or in private. But it seems to be, and then the parent will say, now we've got to work on that.
Gotcha, Tina. I'm going to get George in on this. Tina's saying, it sounds like it was something that she felt was necessary for her family, for the kids to grow up properly, to learn respect. What do you think about that argument? That's essentially the argument that Adrian Peterson has made, that that's what his childhood was like as well, and that discipline helped him grow up. What about that?
Well, I don't buy it. I don't buy that spanking means discipline, and if you don't spank, it means you're raising a child without discipline. Firm guidance and firm discipline is a hallmark of good parenting in anyone's book, including Positive Parenting. But they just say, positive parent advocates argue that you never need to hit, and perhaps some of the misbehavior is due to reactions to being hit. And what you really want to do is develop positive, open communication and good relationships with your parent, and respectful ones, so that your child will respect you, but also you respect your child and your child's individuality. Now, of course, kids are kids, and they do not yet have the self-control that an adult does because of their lack of brain development in the frontal cortex. So parents need to recognize that kids are going to engage in some behaviors that are inappropriate. But again, you have to sort of structure situations, and you have to have correct expectations about child behavior, and just engage in respectful parenting that isn't going to do damage, which spanking can do for some kids. It's not going to do it for all kids, of course, but
George,
we're talking about, yeah.
In our final moments, I want to ask you, ABC News has reported that the Midwest hits their kids the most often after the South. Why do you think that is?
Well, I'm not sure about the Midwest. I have seen those statistics, and perhaps you can, as someone who lives in the Midwest, can help explain that better. In the South, it's clear for various reasons that there's more of a tradition of corporal punishment. It's the Bible Belt, and there's also tends to be more of a culture of honor in the South, where parents will expect immediate obedience and immediate respect from a child. But in the Midwest, it's less clear to me, so perhaps you or someone in the audience can help answer that.
Well, George, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
George Holden is a professor of psychology at Southern Methodist University. He studies parenting, discipline, and family violence. We've been talking about the debate over corporal punishment, which has been reignited after the high-profile indictment of Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson, who is facing child abuse charges after beating his children.